Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday. To get you through what's left of your commute. To get you through, more importantly, the coronavirus crisis. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. We got a lot to get to. We only have an hour left to do it. A prolific offender in Seattle threatens two gay men with a syringe. But guess what? He gets quickly released from jail. It is an exclusive story you're only going to hear on The Jason Rand Show. Funerals can now continue in Washington during the stay-at-home order. Some minor changes to how they operate. Plus, the RNC's Liz Harrington's going to stop by to tackle how dishonest some media outlets are being when dealing with President Trump. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Your health.
A bigoted Seattle prolific offender was very, very, very quickly released after threatening to stab two gay men with a syringe and calling a black woman the N-word. This comes after King County decided to, hey, you know what, we're going to implement a new coronavirus policy that will not book most misdemeanor charges out of fears that the coronavirus can spread. We heard from the jails that they're letting suspects out over coronavirus concerns. In this case, guess who we're going to talk about? We talk about bad guys from time to time, and yet the one name that happens to come up over and over and over again is who?
Jason Rantz.
That's not true. I'm the detective in unreality that makes the arrest. Francisco Calderon. In a lot of ways, Francisco Calderon has become the face of the prolific offenders problem in this region. Not even just Seattle, in this region. This is a guy who has 75 convictions. 75 convictions. Just last year, he sucker punched a passerby. He ends up doing some jail time. He then is released, and I believe either on the same day or the next day, he decides to throw coffee in the face of a toddler. This is a bad guy. This is a guy who keeps getting a chance. Chance after chance after chance by Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes. So last week, last Thursday, Seattle police got a call of Francisco Calderon attempting to stab two gay men with a syringe in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. These two friends were walking around Broadway Avenue. They were trying to do some exercise, get out of the house. They were just wandering around Broadway Avenue when they noticed Francisco Calderon, according to this incident report, was, quote, shouting and making threats to some random passerby. Now, I've got the incident report in front of me. In fact, it's up at ktth.com if you want to read along with me. It says that Calderon started to follow these two guys. At one point, got physically between them and pushed them apart, telling them that they shouldn't be married. They're not. They just happen to be two gay guys. They're not actually married.
Just assume that they were?
Yeah. Ugh. You two guys standing next to each other in Capitol Hill. You know what that means, according to Francisco Calderon. Now, this is according to the report. Quote, he told them he would knock them out with one punch. Calderon had his hands balled up into fists. They later saw that he had an uncapped syringe in his hand. Now, one of the victims contacted me today. I believe he's going to be on the show tomorrow. He sent me a photo that he took of Francisco Calderon with the syringe in his hand. Producer Peyton, if this dude was standing behind you at any distance, how scared would you feel?
Horrified. That's one of my biggest fears in life, is being stabbed with a dirty needle.
From a dude who looks like a crazy person.
Yes, he's terrifying.
I've got the photo up right now at ktth.com. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you a link. You can check it out and look at this photo. Both of the victims crossed the street to avoid Calderon. Calderon followed them, but then stopped as he saw a vehicle in the roadway. He attempted to open this vehicle's door. Now, in that vehicle was a woman who happens to be black. He decided to call her N-word girl several times. When this happened, a King County Metro bus driver was witnessing it all. He called into the police. Police showed up, arrest Calderon. Now, he gets taken into custody. Guess what they found on him?
The needle?
What else?
A weapon of some sort?
Say meth.
Ooh, they probably found drugs, maybe meth.
A small bag of meth.
Maybe like a small bag of meth,
Jason? That is
Jason?
So specific. I am shocked that you actually knew that they found meth on him. It was in his sweatshirt pocket. He was booked into jail a little bit before 11 p.m. last Thursday night. Guess what? He didn't even spend a full day in jail. He was released at 1 p.m. the next afternoon. Now, he was originally booked for felonies, according to the SPD. But then a detective reviewed the case and, based on the facts, referred it for misdemeanor charges. Interesting. Right now, if you are booked for most misdemeanors, what ends up happening is that you get released from jail over the coronavirus. They don't want anyone spreading the coronavirus in the jails. I got it. I get it. But this is the exact kind of person who needs to be behind bars. This is the exact kind of case that you should say, our policy is not meant to protect someone like this. We need to put him behind bars because the only way he's going to stop committing these kinds of acts is when he's in jail. He's not getting the help that we've asked him to get. We've demanded that he get drug treatment. He doesn't show up. Now, I found out literally as I'm talking, I got a text message from one of the victims saying they have since changed their mind again and will now push it into a felony. I'm looking at an email coming from the Seattle City Attorney's Office. They say the prosecutor requested a $125,000 arrest warrant for the defendant in this case. It's my understanding that the judge has signed the warrant. Seattle police will be notified of the warrant, and hopefully he'll be located and returned to the King County Jail. How does this guy get released, not even a day in jail? How does this guy who's got a record, as long as his, how does he get out of jail? Now, if you think I'm crazy about this, I want you to look at the photo that I posted on our blog at ktth.com. I want you to go through the facts of this case, and I want you to tell me if it is worth it to let him out of jail over the coronavirus fears. I don't want anyone to get sick, certainly not staff members or cops. But there is a way to safely check someone like Francisco Calderon to make sure that he doesn't actually have any symptoms of the coronavirus and put him in jail. I don't think he's ever going to get help. He will never get help. I'm certain of that. No matter what, he will never get help. And so the least this county can do is put him in jail between the violent acts or the threats of violence. That's the only thing that's going to save us. It's literally the only thing that's going to save us from him. So text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. And when I send you the story and you look at the photos and you read everything, I really need you to amplify this story. Looks like I'm going to be on Tucker Carlson talking about it tomorrow or Wednesday. Producer Peyton.
Yes, Jason?
Did I tell you I was going on Tucker Carlson show tomorrow?
You just broke this news to me on the air, and we've went over this. I'm your producer. I manage your calendar. I need to know these things in advance.
I'm telling
especially
you
if you're just going to be doing it, you know, so often. You're going to leave me eventually. I know that.
Fingers crossed.
Mentally preparing for it
fingers
every
crossed.
Single day.
I mean, it also could be just you getting fired, but fingers crossed.
Can't wait.
Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Meanwhile, 12 Seattle police and firefighters have tested positive for the coronavirus so far. According to Como, they say six apiece. Six firefighters, six Seattle police officers right now are in isolation after being infected. A spokesperson for Mayor Jenny Durkin's office says so far, 200 first responders in Seattle have had to self-isolate or quarantine due to the coronavirus. Of those, 45 fire department employees are back on the job after completing their 14-day quarantine, and 66 police department workers are back on duty. Now, this is a serious issue that cannot be overstated. If the coronavirus spreads, if there is an outbreak of any kind, within the SPD at least, they are not staffed to handle that. And that's why it's so important to protect them from this. Meanwhile, we learned over the weekend that Governor Jay Inslee decided to relax his funeral bans when he instituted the stay-at-home order. He said you can't get married and you can't get buried. That didn't quite rhyme, but I mean, the thought was there. Shannon Smith lives in Linden. She told King 5 that when you're trying to postpone a funeral, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
That's different for birthdays, weddings. You can postpone those. Funerals, it doesn't work so well. You know, you want to be able to put the body into the ground, celebrate a well-lived life, and go from there. But this is not what you're able to do.
It's not. And of course, depending on your religion, there are also some other aspects that you have to take into mind. For example, when a Jew dies, the understanding, the belief, the custom is to bury as soon as humanly possible. And so when all of a sudden you throw in the coronavirus issue and the stay-at-home order saying you can't get into groups of people, even for a funeral, it's incredibly difficult. So Governor Inslee has issued new statements, new guidance, saying licensed funeral homes and cemeteries can hold services either in a funeral home itself or at a gravesite, but under certain conditions. Number one, funerals are only attended by immediate family members of the deceased. That's better than having nothing at all. Although if you're one of the individuals who would like to lay someone to rest because you were close friends with them, you're not able to do that. Number two, the family members in attendance must maintain proper social distancing, defined as the staying 6 feet apart. So with all of this in mind, it's not going to be enforced all that much. So it's really on the funeral home or the cemetery to actually make sure that this is happening. But unfortunately for Shannon Smith of Linden, this clarification came a little bit too late because her grandmother passed away last week. They ended up burying her on Friday, and the only people who could attend were herself and her husband.
I'm feeling like it's a date, like, for all of us that have not had been able to have a funeral for the past 2 weeks.
She said she Facebook live streamed the burial for 50 of their family members. That's devastating. That's absolutely devastating. And you know what? Changing your rules like this indicates they weren't the right ones to begin with, that you didn't quite think through that aspect. And you know what? When we're talking about stay-at-home orders on this kind of magnitude, I understand that some things are going to fall through the cracks. I get it. They made some updates to the real estate workers or the real estate industry guidance. That is understandable. But you specifically, Governor Inslee, you specifically mentioned funerals not being allowed to continue under your order, which indicates to me that you did, in fact, put some thought into this. But apparently not enough thought. So that's a shame for that family, for Shannon, and for anybody else who was in this position. Hopefully moving forward, it's not going to be such a hassle. On top of already dealing with the anxiety of coronavirus and the sadness of losing a loved one, having to deal with this kind of nonsense. Now let's go into the effort of how certain industries are coping, how certain workers are coping. Obviously, depending on what you do for a living, you're going to be impacted in a different way. If you work for Amazon right now, you're in a much better position than if you work for a restaurant. If you work for a company that can allow telecommuting, digital work, you're much better than a bowling alley. You're much better than a worker at a movie theater, because those are all closed down. Now, that CEO that we talked about that was making a whole bunch of headlines, Dan Price, headlines because he raised his minimum wage to $70,000 for everybody at his company. He is making headlines again.
We, over the last month, lost half of our revenue as a company, and we realized it about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, because it happened in what it felt like overnight.
Now, despite that, Dan Price, the CEO, he is changing his policies there, not furloughing, but he has cut his own salary to zero so we can pay the people who are working for him without having to lay them off. He tells our sister station, Cairo Radio.
I believe that my team and I and my partner, Tammy, we have never, ever been up for the challenge more than we are right now. So I'm feeling extremely strong and extremely confident.
So kudos to Gravity Payments out of Seattle for doing that. And kudos to Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle is the president and CEO of Columbia Sportswear Company. He is cutting his salary to $10,000 so that they can continue to pay their employees. And by the way, this is happening despite closing every single one of their stores. Every brick and mortar store is closed. Not only is he cutting his salary to $10,000, he said a number of other executives within the company are taking a 15% pay cut as well. Now, what does this actually mean? They don't actually give up the salaries for their workers. But the Oregonian reported that he, in 2018, was paid $3 million. So he's going from $3 million to $10,000. Kudos to him for doing that. He does not have to. These companies don't have to. These executives who get bullied almost every single day by people like Shama Sawant don't have to do anything. They can play into the stereotype that they're greedy and evil. But they're stepping up in ways like this because they care deeply about their employees. Amazon does not have to give $5 million to small businesses struggling around the South Lake Union neighborhood due to the coronavirus, but they're choosing to. They don't have to, but they're choosing to. Now, unfortunately, not every company is in that position. We got some pretty bad news from Macy's. The vast majority of their 130,000 employees are going to be furloughed, all because of the coronavirus and the impact it's had on their businesses. We're talking about Macy's, Bloomingdale's, and of course, Bluemercury. That's my favorite. I don't know what that one is, but I know Bloomingdale's and Macy's. According to a press release that was put out, they said, while the digital business remains open, we have lost the majority of our sales due to the store closures. We've already taken measures to maintain financial flexibility, including suspending the dividend, drawing down on our line of credit, freezing both hiring and spending, stopping capital spend, reducing receipts, canceling some orders, and extending payment items. And we are evaluating all other financial or financing options. So they're in a position where they're going to have to furlough, because if they don't, they're not going to be able to sustain a business. That's what people are going through right now, and we have to understand that. And it's not just to say that Macy's is struggling and businesses are struggling, but the people who work for them are struggling. Now, at the same time, we've got car dealerships locally that are dealing with the stay-at-home order. It's forcing a lot of them to have to close down, which, by the way, is costing the state a whole bunch of money.
Just in the last couple of days, we've had to go from basically being a thriving car dealership to we have no retail sales. We're not allowed to sell cars.
So that's Phil Mitchell. He is the owner of Sunset Chevrolet in Sumner. He was speaking with Cairo 7 TV saying, look, we're struggling and we're having to lay off a whole bunch of people.
We're not really even allowed to deliver the car, according to what the governor said.
So they laid off 80% of their workers. In fact, he says the argument coming from the order is that, look, can we at least sell vehicles online? Nope. Because they can't, as he just heard, they can't deliver the cars. Derek Riley is a Sunset employee. He's complaining about this situation, a horrible situation he finds himself in.
We had two people approach us, knocking on the window, wanting to look on rigs. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't get keys and show them.
Now, losing out on that sale or those sales, not just hurting these individual employees who work on commission, not just hurting the company, the dealership, it's hurting the state. $171 million a year come in the form of sales taxes on car sales. $171 million a year. That's $14 million a month. So think about that right now. Stay-at-home order in March into April will be at least $14 million on average, we think. So they're asking the governor for some flexibility. I hope they get it. And then finally, scam artists have already beaten the U.S. government to countless people in need by offering them stimulus cash only. They don't actually have stimulus cash to give. They are posing as federal agents. They're making phone calls, and they're tricking people into giving them information that they used to exploit and steal from. This according to the Better Business Bureau of Western Washington. Ben Spradling is the marketplace manager for the BBB. He told Cairo 7TV that the scam could impact many people who just don't know all the details about when their stimulus check is going to arrive.
The number of folks who are going to get impacted by this is going to grow. It hasn't yet been clearly communicated how those checks are going to get to those individuals who need them. And I think because of that, they may think that it's coming just as easily as a text message that arrives at their phone number.
It's not coming in text message form. It's coming in a literal form of a check, and it should be there within 2 to 3 weeks. So when you get these calls or text messages or weird emails, please don't fall for it.
Notice that they'll ask for things like routing numbers. They'll ask for things like social security numbers. And that is when you realize maybe a little too late that you've given information that you shouldn't have.
Never give that info over the phone, period. Never give it.
What if they say please?
Nope, not even then.
What if they sound very trusting?
Nope, not even then. If they're calling you and they're asking you for this stuff, they should already have it.
What if they say, I want a free cruise?
Okay, well, ask them where the cruise is, although that should be a red flag because there are no cruises right now.
See,
so you gotta use your...
Where were you last week?
That's why you were calling the other day.
Yeah, going to Belize.
Yeah, no, you're not going to Belize. Literally, you're never going to Belize. Just saying. You're literally never going there. Never. Just get it out of your head. You're never going to go there. I don't even think you're going to leave Washington State, if I'm being honest.
Not with the way that you pay me. That's why I was going on a free cruise.
It's not so free. Please pay attention to these things. And, Derek Kilmer on the show, last week said there's a special place in hell for people who take advantage of folks during a crisis. That's an understatement. Who does that? And it's usually, not always, it's usually elderly people who are already scared to death. And if you're so quick to fall for a scam like this, it's because you're desperate for that money. Just shame on people who do that. Now, I'm not saying I recommend the death penalty for something like this, but I am thinking it. But I'm not going to say it because that's a little extreme. You're listening to The Jason Rancher. Don't forget, you can listen to us on your Echo or your smart speaker of choice, Google Home. All you have to do is ask it to play KTTH radio, and bam, as you're spending more time home, you can listen that way or, of course, on the KTTH smartphone app. When we come back, I think an apology is in order from Rachel Maddow. I don't think it's going to happen. We'll tell you why. Welcome back to the Jason Rancher live on this Monday afternoon. Really do appreciate you tuning in. 10 days ago today, President Trump announced that the Navy was going to be sending ships to New York and LA to handle patients, to help the overburdened healthcare systems, specifically in New York City, where it's gotten way worse than anybody anticipated. It was especially needed even 10 days ago. And the president came up and said, you know what, I'm sending USS Comfort, and it's going to arrive as soon as humanly possible. 10 days ago exactly, on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow said this.
In terms of the happy talk we've had on this front from the federal government, there is no sign that the Navy hospital ships that the president made such a big deal of, the Comfort and the Mercy, no sign that they'll be anywhere on site helping out anywhere in the country for weeks yet. The president said when he announced that those ships would be put into action against the COVID-19 epidemic, he said one of those ships would be operational in New York Harbor by next week. That's nonsense. It will not be there next week.
That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Well, it docked in New York City this morning. In fact, on Saturday, the president said this.
In a few moments, the crew of the Navy hospital ship USNS Comfort, which is really something, will embark for New York City, where they will join the ranks of tens of thousands of amazing doctors, nurses, and medical professionals who are battling to save American lives.
Now, instead of apologizing for the snark, instead of apologizing for underestimating the president, Rachel Maddow was on Twitter saying, oh, well, technically I was right because I said it wasn't here 3 days before it was supposed to be, if we're technically defining things by week. She says, you were wrong about it. No hard feelings. Everyone's glad it's there now. This is unbelievable. This is absolutely unbelievable how far the media will go to try to dunk on this president, to purposefully underestimate the capabilities, not even just of the president, but of the American people. We're talking about the Navy. We're talking about the Navy that she underestimated. When CNN goes up there and gives a hard time to the president, they're doing it at the expense not just of facts, but of the people who are working their tails off. In fact, over the weekend, there was a big to-do about how CNN decided to approach the president to his face.
You were talking about governors of different states, and you said, I want them to be appreciative. You also said, if they don't treat you right,
I don't call.
These are direct quotes, sir.
These are direct quotes, sir. Remember that line over the course of the next few seconds. These are direct quotes, sir. Okay?
Excuse me. Ready? Take a look at what I said. I want them to be appreciative of me, okay? And then you cut it off because it's fake news.
You and of your administration,
just,
absolutely.
Please, let me just finish.
Oh, but then he added.
You just said it again, and you know the answer is a lie. You know
that I could read you your full comments, sir,
let me just say,
look,
your statement and your response and your answer is a lie. Because here's the story. You ready? I said, I want you to be appreciative of me, and then you go on, and then I go on, and you cut it off. But it says
you said,
because
I want
when
them
you're
to
not,
be appreciative. I don't want them to say things that aren't true. I want them to be appreciative. We've done a great job. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mike Pence, the task force. I'm talking about FEMA.
Thank you.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Mike Pence. I'm talking about the task force. I'm talking about FEMA. That's not what the CNN guy quoted at the beginning of his statement, is it? He didn't quote the part where he says, I'm not talking about me. He quoted the part that indicated President Trump was talking about himself.
The Army Corps of Engineers.
Thank you.
But then you went on to say, if they don't treat you right, I don't call. He's a different type of person.
I don't call.
Said, referring to
no,
the
I don't
president.
Call. No, I don't call the governor of Washington.
Why in this
now.
Time?
But Mike Pence calls and the head of FEMA calls. I don't stop them. Did I ever ask you to do anything negative, Mike, to Washington, the state of Washington?
Nope. But CNN can't help itself, even to his face. So they're either completely dishonest and incompetent, or they're doing this on purpose because they know it's going to generate that kind of reaction from the president, which then they can go on air and say, oh, look at this unhinged president. Look at him being triggered by the facts. They're not facts. Which is why the president goes after CNN so often.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. And there are a couple of people that know that. But for political reasons, let's say they're Democrats. They don't want to give this administration credit. And that's okay. But I don't have to deal with them. But our vice president does deal with them. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr.
But that's
president.
Why CNN is not trusted anymore. They are not trusted. They are fake news. Remember that.
He's not wrong. They're not trusted. They're not. When you look at how poorly CNN is doing, know that it's because they decided to, for whatever reason, go away from news and lean in to the crazy anti-Trump stuff. And they're not even doing it well. If you want anti-Trump analysis, you should go to MSNBC, because at least they're good at it and they don't lie about what it is they provide. Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, they don't hide their bias. They're openly anti-Trump. It doesn't mean what they're saying is better. It's still dumb nonsense, but at least they're open and honest about it. CNN pretends that they're a hard news source. CNN pretends they're all about the facts. This is an apple. They actually pretend that they're not MSNBC when they're MSNBC ripoffs. And that's why they do so poorly. Fox News is killing it in the ratings because they treat the president fairly. And don't tell me that Fox News, which very clearly runs to the right, don't tell me that they're pro-Trump 24/7 because they're not. They're honest. They represent both sides of almost every single issue that you can possibly think of. And you know what they have at their disposal as a secret weapon? Say it's you. Say it's Jason.
Jason. They have Jason.
Rance.
Jason Ranch.
No, Rance.
Oh.
He made that mistake one time. They have me. I will be on either tomorrow or Wednesday. I don't know which day. They gave me a note saying, hey, we can accommodate Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's how much they care about your free labor is they're just going to figure out when they can
fit
you in.
Okay, what do you do? What do you do? The Berg?
Yeah.
Give them a little shout out.
Yeah, 88.1 The Berg, your music central, broadcasting live from Kittitas County.
For CWU.
And on 88.1TheBerg.com.
Okay, yeah, we got it. I just need one more thing. Liz Harrington is the RNC national spokesperson. She's going to join me next to talk a little bit more about how crazy and unhinged so many media members are when it comes to Donald Trump. You're not going to want to miss that. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. Not that we expected the media to be any more fair to the president. They're stooping to some new lows over the weekend and throughout the last couple of weeks as the president takes on the coronavirus public health emergency. Joining me on the line with her reaction is Liz Harrington, the national spokesperson for the RNC. Welcome back to the show, Liz.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So I know that over the weekend, a lot of people paid attention to the PBS reporter, but I want to pay attention to the CNN reporter who decided to take out of context a quote that the president said last week, which was basically saying, I don't need them to be appreciative of me. Speaking of governors dealing with the coronavirus, they should be paying attention and be thankful of the hardworking people behind me. But CNN, to the president's face, decided to cut the context off of that quote.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to see, hey, you know, we don't think we got enough tweets and likes taking the president completely out of context and cutting off the quote exactly at the point where to leave out all the great things he said about our great workers in the Army Corps of Engineers, mm-hmm. FDA, the military, all over the place. You know, that's who the president cares about getting the credit. And it's just amazing to see. And the president nailed it. He said, you're going to quote back to me my half quote out of context. And this is exactly the point. It illustrates what the media is interested in. They're not interested in getting out the facts, the truth, the most important information Americans need at this moment. He stood yesterday and took questions for about an hour, and every reporter got about two rounds. And what did they ask about? I mean, petty, trying to take quotes out of context, pit the president against members of his own administration and members of the White House task force. It's so pathetic, and it's on display for every American to see what the media prioritizes versus what the administration is prioritizing, which is Americans.
Yeah, and Liz, what's particularly egregious in all of this, and it's very, very ironic, media members will say over and over again, President Trump is not listening to the doctors. The doctors are saying the president is absolutely listening to them, and then the media continues to say, they're not listening. The president's not listening to the doctors. It is transparent.
I wish the media would start listening to the doctors. I mean, what did Dr. Fauci say yesterday? He said, look, models are great and all, but they're only as good as the assumptions you put in them. And they lead to panicked, nerve-wracked questions like the one you just asked. So he explained why we're doing everything we're doing, what we're going to do, but he warned against the dangers of taking against the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And what does the media lead with every single hour? You know, it's going to be this number. Stop panicking, everyone. You know, the reason why we're taking unprecedented steps, I mean, we just had the biggest economic mm-hmm. relief package ever signed. Obviously, it's a big deal that we're extending the guidelines through the end of April. Obviously, the president is taking this seriously, but at the same time, there's no need to hype up over panic. That's not what America is about. Yeah. America is about getting the job done, using innovation. I mean, what can't we do? And that's the message that President Trump's been consistent on. It's been positive thinking. And the media, every single question they take, which is in complete disregard to what the doctors and the experts are saying, which is proceed with caution. And obviously, we got to do the common sense things and continue social distancing and everything else of what the guidelines say. But at the same time, this hysteric doom and gloom, it's just not helping anybody. But you can see it on display every single day during these press conferences, what the media asks and what they really seem to be hoping for, which is not us ending this anytime soon, which is just a shame.
Liz Harrington is the RNC national spokesperson. We're talking about the media and their role in hyping up the worst case scenarios with the coronavirus, all as a means to go after President Trump. And so far, Liz, it has not worked. We had the Gallup poll that showed 61% of Americans supported the way the president is handling this crisis. You had, I believe it was ABC, that had 51%. So it's probably somewhere between 51 and 61. The people who actually watch the president or listen to the president, they're the ones who know that he's doing the right thing. And the second that those numbers started to come in is when we heard, for example, from our local NPR affiliate, KUOW, one of our competitors in the radio market here, saying they're not going to carry the press briefings. You have CNN cutting away from some of the press briefings as well. They know that when people watch the president, they like what he's doing.
Exactly. And they know it's effective because you do. You have a leader. When have you ever seen yesterday? And he's been doing this, by the way, from the beginning of his administration. If you remember back when they were trying to negotiate DACA, he brought in the cameras to the cabinet room and everyone freaked out and said, you can't negotiate on live television. Look what he did yesterday. Had the cameras in there talking about with the experts with these companies in increments on the supply chain. And he's negotiating in real time saying, can you get this to FDA? Why is there a hiccup? Why can't we get these masks, move them out faster, get the red tape out of the way for the sterilization process to get thousands and thousands of more masks out there? And he's doing it right on live TV. And that's the tremendous transparency that is, I think, so valuable and really informs the public. And it's an absolute travesty when you have taxpayer funded radio. They want to be the gatekeepers. They want to be, it's about control of information. They're not prioritizing truth or transparency or getting the information out of the public. They want to be able to control and make the president look bad. Yeah. And it's just absolutely ridiculous because you know it's effective because President Trump is being straight with the American people. He's bringing in the best people. He's elevating the experts. I mean, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have both spent a lifetime and government service. And the only people who really knew their names were people who had followed the beat or been in Washington their whole lives. They weren't on TV all the time. They're not. And look at how he's elevated them. And now they're such strong voices that are being reassuring to the American people and getting the information to them. That's why President Trump is an incredible leader. He elevates people who do a tremendous job. He is an outsider. He knows how the real world works. He knows how business works. And he says, let's get the job done in the fastest way possible. And people are seeing it in real time. And that's why his numbers are going up.
Somewhat hard to believe, but we are still in the middle of a presidential election, even though the media hasn't really been focused on that. I thought it was kind of curious earlier today, former Vice President Joe Biden, I think it was on MSNBC, says the president needs to stop campaigning and just get back to work, while in the middle of an interview in which he is campaigning to remind people he is running for president. So what is big picture? How is this going to impact the election?
Well, we'll have to see. We're still far away. We're in March. But it's amazing to see our operation, the RNC and the Trump campaign, we switched everything online immediately. Not this past Saturday, the Saturday before, we had a national day of action. 1.5 million phone calls were made.
Wow.
All by our amazing volunteers. That's more phone calls than was made in an entire week during the 2018 midterm cycle. We were able to switch things online, get people to where they go. We're still campaigning, but we're also doing it by the CDC guidelines, encouraging people to get the information that they need to keep their families safe. And it took Joe Biden 4 days to set up a studio in his basement. And he just released his first podcast, which took them 6 days to produce. So when they released it this morning, it's 6 days old. It's only 20 minutes long. And they still couldn't clean up the disaster because their candidate is a disaster. So, look,
takes a lot of editing.
I'm sure it's going to affect every aspect of our life. It's already affected the way we campaign, but I'm telling you, we're in such a better position, and it's because we have an amazing operation, but it's also because we have an amazing candidate at the top of the ticket who has worked every single day since he's gotten in there for the American people, and that hasn't stopped with this pandemic either.
Well, the big breaking news today from Joe Biden, the coronavirus started in the Wuhan province of China. So,
exactly. You know,
it's really good breaking news details from his interviews and podcasts. We've been talking with Liz Harrington, the national spokesperson for the RNC. Thank you so much for stopping by. As always, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.